Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, the 9th Psalm. We shall read this Psalm throughout. Psalm number 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for just judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. But the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Arise, O Lord. Let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. We pray for God's blessing upon his word. Let us read from the New Testament, from the book of the Acts, chapter 2 and verse 14. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. We shall read down to verse 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. A couple of weeks ago we finished our study of 2 John, And then last week we had our monthly evangelistic service, and I was wondering what I might take with you in our Sabbath evening services over the summer months. It's a time of year when many of us are away for a shorter or longer period on holiday. Mrs. Donnelly and I and our family will be away, some of us going away in the middle of next week. We're going to be in America for 4 weeks. I'll be preaching in North Carolina and Tennessee, and then we're hoping to have a family holiday, so with only two more Lord's Days, including today, before our holidays, and then some of you will be away. So I thought it wouldn't be a good time for a very connected series of studies. And I thought it might be useful over the summer months to think with you about some of the names of God as they are revealed to us in the Bible, to see what we can learn about the names of God and about God himself through his names. And we're taking a general introduction to the subject this evening. I'm taking as our theme text Psalm 9 verse 10. These words, "Those who know your name will trust in you." Those who know your name will trust in you. So our subject this evening is knowing God's name. One of William Shakespeare's most famous plays is the tragedy Romeo and Juliet. It is a love story of two young people who fall in love, but their families hate each other. Romeo is a member of the Montague family, and Juliet is a member of the Capulet family. And for generations, they have had absolutely no contact with each other. And the fact of their surnames is what keeps them apart and prevents them from marrying and eventually causes tragedy. And in one of their conversations, Juliet is complaining about this. And she's saying to her beloved, "Why should our names keep us apart? Why should the fact that you have a different surname from me keep us apart? It doesn't change us as people." And she says, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet." Juliet says, names have no connection with reality. Our names don't say anything about who we are. They are just little titles, little labels that we happen to carry about with us. There is no connection between what a person is called and what a person is like. And I suppose that's true today with many of our Christian names. I suppose when our parents gave us our Christian names, for many of us there wasn't some deep hidden significance in the name they gave us. Maybe they liked the sound of it. Some parents may have looked a bit deeper and thought about the meaning or the associations, or it may have been a family name. But our names nowadays are really symbols of identification. But in the Bible, the name was something much, much more than that. In the Bible, generally speaking, a person's name described who that person was. A person's name was filled with meaning. It said something about your identity, about your character. And when someone changed their name, that was a very, very significant event. You remember how God changed the name of Abram. Abram means high father. And at a very significant point in his life, God said, "I'm going to change your name. You're not going to be Abram anymore. You're going to be Abraham," which means father of many peoples. And that change of name symbolized a change in Abraham's life and Abraham's destiny. Or again, from the book of Genesis, we have Jacob. Jacob means the twister or the trickster. Somebody who catches you from behind and trips you up. It was the name of a crafty, deceitful man. And after Jacob wrestled with the angel, God said, I'm going to change your name. You're now going to be called Israel, a prince with God. And you remember how Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. And how Saul became Paul. The change of name was very significant because the name itself was significant. And if that is true of human beings, it is very especially and particularly true of God. And before we start looking over the next few weeks at a few of his individual names, we want to think about this whole question of God's name in general. What does God's name refer to? When we say, those who know your name will trust in you, what does that mean? And I want to suggest two things to you this evening, very simple things, but I think they're important and helpful that God's name refers to. First of all, and most importantly, God's name refers to his essential character. God's name refers to his essential character. In other words, God's names tell us who God is and what he is like and what sort of a God he is. So if you and I want to know what God is like, who God is like, and I hope we all do, one of the best ways of learning about God is studying his names, because they are ways of teaching us what he is like. God reveals himself to us. We could never know God by ourselves. We could never discover God. We could never find out who God is and what God is like. But we don't need to, because God has told us who he is. And he's told us what he is like. He has revealed himself in creation, in the world that he has made. We look at this beautiful world and we see something of the power and the wisdom of God. He's revealed himself in his Son. We read about the Lord Jesus. And when we read about him, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He tells us who God is like. He reveals himself in his laws, in his commandments, in his actions, in his attributes. All these things tell us who God is like. And he reveals himself especially in his names. To know God's name, or his names, is rather like looking through a window into God's essential being. Supposing you wanted to find out about a new family who has moved into your neighborhood. You wanted to find out as much about them as you possibly could, and it wasn't possible for you somehow to meet them. How could you find out about them? Well, you could go and stand in their front garden, and you could look at their house from the outside. And you might be able to find out a few things about them. You might be able to find out that they were wealthy. Perhaps the house is a very big, splendid, luxurious looking home. And you'd say, well, these people have obviously plenty of money. And then you'd notice that the garden was very tidy and the house was very well painted. And you would say, well, they're a very tidy, orderly family. You would see the way the whole house was decorated, and you see they're a family who appreciate beauty. But that's about all you could tell. You couldn't tell very much. But supposing you were to walk up to a house and start looking in through the windows. Now, I know that none of you would ever be nosy enough to do that, but just supposing you wanted to do that, well, you could tell a lot more about the family through looking in through the windows. You could look into the kitchen and you could tell a lot about their eating habits, and what they enjoyed eating, and whether they gathered around the table together. You could perhaps look into a room and you would see a piano and a lot of music. You would say they're a very musical family. You would see shelves of books Now, you might see a lot of technical equipment, and you could look in and you would find out the secrets of the family. Not all the secrets of the family, but some of the secrets of the family. And of course, if I were taking the illustration further, if the son of the family came out of the house and invited you inside and brought you inside, then you really could find out a great deal more about the family. But we're really like the person who's looking in through the window. And those windows that God has opened for us into His being are His names. And He has given them to us as windows so that we can look through them and see what God is like. Not everything about God, but what God wants us to know, what God wants us to discover. And the more windows we look through, the fuller our understanding of God is. And it's a remarkable thing that the Bible is filled with dozens of the names of God. And it doesn't always come over because in our English translation they're not shown as His names, but they are His proper names. The Bible tells us that His name is great, His name is awesome, His name is faithful, His name is holy. But the Bible then gives us a great list of God's personal names. Let me just very quickly mention a few of them. You'll recognize some of them. Some of them you've heard before. Some of them will be new to you. God's name is El, E-L, which means God. He is El Elyon, God Most High. He is El Roi, the God who sees. He is El Khan, the jealous God. He's El Shaddai, the God who is sufficient. He is El Rechum, the God of compassion. He is El Olam, the everlasting God. He is El Nosei, the forgiving God. He's El Hanun, the gracious God. He's El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel. He is Adonai, the ruling Lord. He is Jehovah, the covenant Lord. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He's Jehovah Mekadoshem, the Lord our sanctifier. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is Abba, Father. Now there's a good sermon series. But I'm not going to take you through all of those names this summer. We'll leave most of them for future years, God willing. We'll look at four or five of them perhaps. But you see, those are just some of the personal, proper names of God that are given to us in the Bible. Many, many names. And these are God's names. And here's the important thing. These names are not man-made. These names are not how we think of God. These names do not reflect our aspirations and our hopes and our longings. These names are not us just wishing that there were a God like that. If they were, that would be rather pathetic. If we were just sitting looking at each other and saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if there were a God like this? That's what unbelievers say our view of God is. They say that there is no God. That God is just a reflection of our urges and our hopes and our longings, and we project these things onto some being up in the sky. And that God is no more than an echo of our needs and our dissatisfaction. But the brilliant thing is that these names are what God has told us about himself. And so they're absolutely true and accurate and precise. And we can know that God is all of these things. That this is God's essential character. That this is part and parcel of his essential being. These names are God saying to you and to me, this is what I am really like. I can assure you of it. I promise you, this is the God I am. So friends, every time you come across a name of God, I want you to say to yourself, this is God telling me who he is. When we read about the forgiving God, or the healing God, or the gracious God, this is God's description of himself. God's essential character. And that simple insight explains many verses in Scripture. It explains many of our duties. Psalm 5, verse 11. Those who love your name may rejoice in you. In other words, we are to love God in his essential being and character. Or again, Joel chapter 2 verse 26. You will praise the name of the Lord your God. Sadly, there are many Christians today who think that praising the name of the Lord is simply saying his name over and over and over and over again. And in many Christian groups, they get very emotional and they get very excited and they go on, repeating and repeating and repeating the word, the name, Jesus, or Lord, or God, on, till they almost get themselves into a hypnotic state. And they say, we're praising the name of the Lord. That's not praising the name of the Lord. That's repeating syllables. That's repeating letters. That's making signs. Praising the name of the Lord is praising him for his being, for who he is, for what he is like. Praising him for his character. It's not repeating a word over and over again, or a phrase over and over again. That doesn't help us. That doesn't glorify God. We glorify God when we praise him for who he is. Or again, the psalm we were singing, Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare your name to my brothers. What does that mean? Does that mean we just go about saying to people, God, Jesus, Lord, Heavenly Father? Is that declaring God's name? No. The psalmist is saying, I'm going to tell my brothers who you are and what you are like. I'm going to explain your character to people. Jesus said in John 17:6, I have revealed your name to those you gave me out of the world. What a light this casts on that phrase that we meet so often in the Bible, for his name's sake, or for your name's sake. Some people think of that as a superstitious phrase, that if somehow if we use God's name, we're twisting his arm, and he has to give us what we ask because we've used, say, the name of Jesus. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying, because, O Lord, you are who you are. That's what it means, for your name's sake. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 11, now, for thine own name's sake, O Lord, I thee entreat to pardon mine iniquity. Forgive me, God. Why should God forgive you? For his name's sake. Because he is a forgiving God. Because that's his character. Because that's the sort of God he is.
The psalmist is saying, I'm asking you to forgive me, O God, because you're a forgiving God. I'm asking you to do what you delight to do. Psalm 23, verse 5. He needs to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Because that's the sort of God he is. He loves to guide his people and to bless them and protect them. Or when we pray, as probably we pray every day, in Jesus' name and for his sake, we are casting ourselves upon the person of the Lord Jesus and all that he is in his mercy and his grace, his compassion and forgiveness and power and love. And we're saying, Lord, answer my prayer because of who your Son really is. So the names of God are exceedingly powerful and very, very important and crucial for us in our understanding of who God is, his essential character. And then secondly and lastly, the name of God speaks not only of his essential character, but of his active presence. Of his active presence. They tell us not only what God is like, but what God does. You see, if the name just spoke of his character, that would leave him rather remote. That would suggest to us that there's a wonderful God up in heaven who has nothing much to do with us, but he is just a very gracious, forgiving, powerful, wise person. But the name of God tells us what he does as well as who he is. There is no difference between who God is and what God does. Sadly, there is often with sinful human beings. What we do doesn't always reflect the sort of people we like to think ourselves. Sadly, we often behave inconsistently with our profession. We say one thing, but sadly, we do another thing. We profess to be this, but sadly, we practice that. And the tragedy of our sinful lives is that our profession and our practice don't always go together. But that's not true of God. God always acts in perfect conformity to his character. God is always consistent. What he does always reflects who he is. Now that is tremendously important. Because it means that these names of God are not just theory. They're not just nice ideas. When we look at the name of God, the gracious God, that means that God actually acts in a gracious way. He actually shows grace here on earth to people. When we read of the Lord our righteousness, that just doesn't mean that theoretically he's a righteous God, but it means that he actually makes people righteous. It shows us who God is, but also what God does, his active presence here and now. When we read of the God who is sufficient, or the God of compassion, or the God of forgiveness, that means that God forgives. And God shows compassion. And God proves himself to be sufficient. So the name of God tells us not just who God is like, but who God is for you in your life if you will trust him. The name of God is a tremendous encouragement to our faith. When you read, my friend, If you read in your Bible of El Shaddai, the God who is sufficient, you have to say to yourself, that means he's sufficient for me. He'll help me. The Lord our sanctifier, he will sanctify me. The Lord will provide. That means he will provide for me. The Lord our peace. That means he will give me his peace. My circumstances may be difficult. My life may be very hard. But the Bible tells me that the Lord is the Lord our peace. And I can be confident in that. So God's name is not only his essential character, but his active presence. We'll be seeing next week, perhaps, in our study of the life of Elijah, his challenge to the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 18:24. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. What does Elijah say? He's not just saying, you pronounce one word, and I'll pronounce another word. He's not just saying, you tell me what your God is like, and I'll tell you what my God is like. He's saying, you ask your God to be present, and to act. And I'll ask my God to be present, and to act. God's name, and I can't overstress this, is his active presence. Psalm 76, we were just singing. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. What does that mean? His name is great in Israel. Well, it means that there are the dead bodies of wicked people lying all over the battlefield. And horse and chariot low are lying in the sleep of death's dark night. That's how his name is great. Because he has acted. He has saved. He has delivered his people. In John 17:11, Jesus prays, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. There's nothing magic about God's name. There's nothing magic about saying the name of God. That's superstition. It's God's presence. It's God's power. The word God won't help you. The word Lord won't help you. There's no good just repeating the little syllables that make up the name of God. That doesn't help you. It's God's presence helps you. It's God with you. God dealing with you and working in you. Peter said to the man at the gate of the temple, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Do those signs Jesus Christ give power to anyone? Of course not. They're just two English words. But the person and the presence and the power of Jesus. And when Peter spoke those words, the Lord Jesus worked by his Holy Spirit and gave power to that man to walk. So here's the second implication of the name of God. It is his essential character. It is also his active presence. You see the significance of being baptized into the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. To be joined to God in his essential character and in his power and in his presence. You see the significance of Acts 2:21, Peter's statement on the day of Pentecost. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who trusts the person and seeks the presence of Jesus will be saved. That's what it means to call on the name of the Lord. Not just to say his name, but to trust his person, and to seek his presence and his power. And anyone who does that will be saved. That's when we pray, again, in Jesus' name, by all that Jesus is, and by the mighty power, the active presence of Jesus. Which brings us back to our text. Those who know your name will trust in you. Do you know God's name? Now you may know many of his names. You may be able to repeat them. But that's not what the text is saying. The text is saying those who really know who God is like, and those who have really experienced his active presence in their lives and his power helping them and changing them, they will trust. That is the marvelous privilege which is open to each one of us. By faith, to come to the scriptures over these next weeks and to learn more of the essential character and the active presence. The active presence. In your life, tonight, tomorrow, throughout this week, knowing it in experience, not just in theory, but in real life experience, to know the names of God. What a thrilling adventure that is for us. What a wonderful prospect for our faith. I want to know God's names. I want to know better who God is, what he's like. And I want to experience his active presence. And if you can remember it as we look at each of these personal names of God, just try to remember these two phrases, essential character and active presence. And may God act, may God work, as we look through these windows. May we not only see, but may we be changed by the presence of our God. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how we bless and thank and praise you that you have not hidden yourself from us and left us to guess who you are, to grope after your identity, but you have poured out a treasury of your names. The word is full of your personal names, your self-description, assuring us who you are and what you do for your people. Father, it's an insult to our friends if we forget their names. And when you have told us so many of your names, forgive us, O Lord, that we have not treasured them more and made them pillars of our faith, truth to rest on. Lord, what is more important than your description of yourself and what you do for your people? Here is not guesswork or supposition, but here is solid reality. So we pray, O God, over these weeks and months in the summer, that as we think of a few of your names, we will come to know you better and experience more of your power and presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.